this morning. One comes out of Malachi. It's actually the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, and it's the whole chapter, but it talks about the day of the Lord and is an Advent theme chapter for us today, so if you can turn your Bibles to that, that's great. Chapter 4 of Malachi. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Second reading comes out of Romans 15. It is the last of the theological teaching of Romans. Everything that occurs after our readings is what we would call personal greetings. You can see that if you can see the whole chapter in your Bible. But we're actually going to start on verse 4, and I want you to watch the word hope. Because, like I said, my theme is there is no hope, and then you're supposed to be picking up on what I'm doing with Romans and other things. So here we go. Starting at verse 4. Got to find it in my little print here. Sorry about that. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name. And again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord of all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here ends the reading. I'd like to invite children to come down. I hope you come down. I need a Brian down here today for a illustration. Is it willing to volunteer for that? I really need him. I missed you guys. It's so good to see you. Yes, I even missed that a little bit. Yes, yes. Oh, you're gonna move that way away. I was trying to hide behind it, but no, that's all right. I need someone really brave. I mean, you're brave enough? Okay. Brian, take that young one of yours. Put her on the end of the altar. Don't let her fall off. Stand her up. And don't wiggle because the people will fall over. All right. All right. I need another volunteer. Someone very brave or very foolish. You don't know which one I'm looking for, huh? You don't know which one? I am going to pick you. Come on down. All right. I need to know what hope means. What does hope mean? H-O-P-E. Hope. What's that mean? Yes, that's a good place to start. You trust. What are you trusting in, though? So, for instance, is her dad holding her now? No, not holding her right now. So she trusts in the altar, right? Perfect. You're doing a great job, honey. All right? Guess what? I'm going to see if she trusts him to catch her. All right? Because if she trusts him, she hopes he will catch her when she jumps. All right? Now, you ready? Put out your arms. Do you think you can hope that he'll catch you?
No.
No. He won't. There's more going on in these lessons. All the truths are being revealed. It's not an issue of whether he can.
No,
he won't. You missed some of the good parts. That's why I'm trying to repeat them to you. So you wouldn't put your hope in him, right? Okay. You get to sit down, but good job. How about this guy? Do you think he could catch you? Now wait. Do you think he will catch you? Because why?
I trust him.
You trust him. But how come you think, could he let you fall to the ground and get hurt?
Yes.
Well, could he? Could I? Not will he. Could he just not catch you if he didn't? Boy, that's faith. Ruined the whole test. No. That's all right. You're doing wonderfully. You believe and trust him, don't you? That's what you're supposed to do. So now you can put your hope that when I jump off the altar, my dad will catch me and not let me get hurt. Very good. So your hope is in your, but you haven't, he's not holding you yet, is he? So it's expecting something you haven't yet felt, right? But you know it, right? I want you to remember this part of the knowing. This is what we're going to talk about in the sermon. The sermon's over, if you can figure this out. She knows. She testified to it. She testified to it no matter how many trick things, it weren't tricky, but things I asked. She knows my dad will. And where is your hope then? In my
dad.
In her dad. You ready? Set it up. Jump to your dad. Well. Well done. You get 5 pieces of candy today. The rest of you get 2. Don't whine. Don't whine. Don't whine. She did jump off the altar today. You know, next time I'm going to pick one of the big people. All right, I missed you guys so much. I hoped you would be back today, and I'm so glad you are. Okay? My sermon is about hope. And you saw she trusted her dad was going to catch her no matter what. Her hope was in her father, because she knew in her head and in her heart that he would not let her fall, get hurt. That's hope. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the sermon today, okay? So you remember that. I'll have a little longer definition, but I want you to remember that. Can you do that for me? Good. God bless you all. I hope you had a wonderful vacation. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I thought it was a vacation. No, it wasn't? All right. All right. Well, remember, everybody else gets to take 2. Here's my volunteers to help protect it and watch it over their shoulders. Hurry up. Girls first, girls first. Oh, you're done. That's all right. Let them in there. I know. Next time I'm going to make you go last, though, or make you give them both back. I know how to be. You're welcome. You're welcome. Take 2. Don't forget. Give 1 to your mom or dad. They want them too. Don't let them kid you. It's chocolate. Get something your mom or dad likes, and they'll love you forever. Did she get her five? Oh, good girl. Oh, you just got one. Okay. No. Only two. Only two. Yeah, I know. Two, quick. I'm taking the bag away. You're welcome, honey. There you go. You got two. All right, you got one. You got two. It's okay. Throw them on the floor. No, I'm kidding. Hope is a really peculiar kind of word. And communicating it is sometimes difficult too. Because it's something I haven't tasted or experienced in one sense yet. I am thinking of jumping off this altar. But hope in her attitude was the kind of hope that I want to address today that God is trying to bring us to. That confidence that there was no doubt in her childlike mind at all that her dad was going to keep her from getting hurt, falling to the ground. She had hope unshakable. You heard me ask the multiple of questions trying to get her to understand a couple of different. She had it clear in her head. She said it perfectly. That's the kind of faith of the little one. If you've ever had trouble figuring out having the faith of a little one, that's the kind of faith in God he wants you to have. I have absolute secure assurance, even though I'm not in the middle of the being caught, that my God will catch me, that he will do exactly the same way that she demonstrated that as a little child, putting her faith in her father. Confidently in front of all of you going, nope, not that one. Him, yes. Here, no. I go, no matter what. And she said, yes. You begin to understand the concept. So we begin to understand this. The definition I'm going to give you a couple of times is this. Hope from a biblical perspective is a certain confident expectation of all the good promised to us in Jesus Christ. Of all the good promised to us in Jesus Christ. I have no doubt my God will catch me. I have no doubt I will walk on water. I have a level of confidence in my earthly Father that now God wants to instill in the fellowship in our heavenly Father. The kind that allows you to understand it intellectually, but not necessarily have it in your heart yet. All right? So you begin to understand what we're dealing with is not a lack of a definition of hope. Because usually hope means wishful thinking. I hope I get a brand new four-wheel, right, for Christmas. Good luck, Bruce, you know. With the new Hummer and then the pickup truck that I want so badly. And it'll all go with the property on the lake. I hope. We call that wishful thinking. That's a definition of hope for the most part in the secular world. It's how they function. It's the way they work. It means a kind of some version of wishful thinking, and my hope increases if I know you're loaded. Anyone really rich want to get rid of some $38,000 or so, $56,000, I think trucks cost now? I'd like a new one with the works on it, you know, the drive itself, you know. Oh, then I might actually say wishful thinking, but I put my trust in somebody who may have the money to throw around in that direction. But you have to understand, when God says hope, and that's what I wanted you to pick up as I was reading the text to you out of Romans, the whole book of Romans is about hope that is placed and given to you and hope that is given through you to the world, that they will see your life and ask you why that hope is in you. How come you are so hopeful in such a terrible situation? How come you can act with joy in a situation that normally tears people apart? When they see those things, they will ask you to explain that hope that is in you, as he points out in Peter, that little phrase there, identifying him. But in your hearts set of Christ as Lord, Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. This is no small word to God. It's a summary word for the entire book of Romans. Have you given the Gentiles hope? Have you received the hope of the book of Romans? Do you understand the hope that comes to you because it's not by work? It's by faith alone. It's by trusting in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for me on the cross. It's not something I bring to the deal. It is something God has worked for me. Has anyone taken that hope from you, or have you fully comprehended and received that hope that God wants to place in you so that your confidence is not in you? So like a little one, you can say, I know who is going to catch me, and I will say it in front of the whole church, and you can't dissuade me from my hope in my dad. That's the question I want you to be challenged with today, because, like I said, the entire book of Romans is meant to bring hope into every one of our situations, and that hope is presented to us by a man that had been significantly abused because he followed Christ, by a man who struggled with all the things that he shares, the battle he has till he uncovers his own flesh and understands that warring battle, the good I want to do, I can't do, and the evil I don't want to do, that I end up doing. Who will save me from this wretched life I'm in? This is a man who has uncovered in an intimate, personal way, hope. But it's not the kind of hope that disappoints. It's not the kind of hope that will not accomplish God's purposes. It doesn't always come the way you think it should. God, I was hoping my wife, my husband, my friend, my neighbor wouldn't get sick. They did. I was hoping I wouldn't get caught. I was hoping this would happen. I was hoping my child would turn out this way or that way. And you begin to understand, God says, I have heard this prayer. Put your hope in me. And it's never over until the final word when God says it's over. And so we watch people wander back and forth. We watch children move to the left and the right as they struggle through growing and maturing and adolescence and young adulthood and everything else. And they go through all the stuff they go through. God says, where's your hope? Where's your hope? And remember, this text is going to push us. My hope is never in me. This is not me being a wishful thinker. This is not me setting up wishes. You know, God, I hope you give me that pickup truck for Christmas, right? Because you could do that. It's just a brand new 73,000. I went up 3,010. If I keep thinking of all the things it's got to have, you know, flip the button, it backs, you know, got to have those. Anyway, you understand? Can we be that petty? The answer is yes. And so you begin to recognize, here's Paul coming to the end of this section, and he says this in chapter 15, verse 4. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance, hanging in there, not giving up, and encouragement of the Scripture, all right, we might have hope. Listen to a pastor give an illustration I thought was excellent. He said, you know, I'm kind of pale looking, you know that. And he said, I just can't think about getting myself browner and tanner just by thinking about it. What are you doing? I'm trying to get a tan. How's it working? You're turning red. Okay. Well, it's not working. Okay. But he said, you've got to understand something. You have no ability to make your body turn browner. All right? He said, what do you have to do if you're pale and you want to pick up a little color, as they say, in your face, arms, legs, whatever it is, and get a little browner? He said, let me tell you, in case you can't figure the hard question out, get out in front of the sun. Okay? Stand in front of the sun, and you will get more brown all the time. He said, that's what the Word of God does for you. If you don't have the kind of hope that will carry you through the kind of dangerous things or potentially dangerous things like jumping off the altar or the equivalent in your life, what are you doing? Where are you spending your time? Well, I spend my time at home going, God, I sure hope I get that pickup truck. All right? And God whispers and says, you're a fool. You haven't read my word. You're not in my word. You're asking for things I have no intention of giving you from the get-go because you want to spend it on yourself. You have no desire to do anything but please yourself, and you're using me in this condition, and I'm telling you before you even open your mouth, don't open your mouth. But I don't know that unless I stand in the light of God's word. And I stand out there exposed to God's word, and it begins to impact my life, change the way I look and feel, alter the way I approach my communication with God, and enter into an attitude of hope and trust because God's word has told me, you can trust me for this. That's why that first verse I focused on, verse 4, where it talks about the scripture has been written and all of those things, you begin to understand. That's referring to the entire Old Testament. And so you begin to understand. You go jump down a little bit with me to the verse. It says in verse 8, I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. He goes all the way through the entire Old Testament. And he says, when you know my word, you will be standing in the sun and you will never be as stupid as to walk around saying, I got to have that truck that I've always wanted or you don't love me enough. And all the other subtitles that we can add to that as we live as stubborn and pig-headed and kind of selfish human beings sometimes. Here's God looking at you going, bathe in my word. Let the light of my word tan every bit of your life until you begin to reflect my word. Then when you open your mouth and you are in a relationship with me, you will understand what the hope is. You will keep your eyes on me, Peter, not on the waves. You will understand the significance of where I am setting my eyes when I'm praying my prayer and what I'm expecting God to do. I don't know God's plan for your life. I can't even tell you God's plan for my life other than maybe a day or two at a time. And that just has to be submitted to God's will all the time. But the point ultimately is when I pray, whether it's for Mark or for Lauren or anybody else who right now is feeling that difficulty and that pressure that is going on out there, what am I supposed to do? I have to enter into it in the light of God's word, knowing what God has spoken to me, communicating in the light, not in the darkness, which you all knew there was a tongue-in-cheek where I got to have this pickup truck for Christmas from God or I'm not going to love him anymore. You knew that, all right? But out here, exposed to the light, the clarity of the will of God, God now directs me, commands me, invites me to begin opening up in prayer and living in hope. I know in whom I have hoped. The reason she was as confident as she was, because she knew she could trust her dad. She operated with a childlike faithfulness and obedience that certainly should have honored him and encouraged all of us, because she was operating at a level of hope that God says, are you ready? You're going to have to step off your altar, 122 feet in the air, or 20 feet in the air, and see if Brian can catch you. All right? And you begin to understand the lesson that Paul is bringing up is so beautiful and so carefully presented here. He goes through these sections and talks about all the different circumstances with the Gentiles even growing in their own relationship of hope. And the Gentiles' hope grew because they began to understand, like the Jews did, my hope is in Christ. Do you think she could explain to me the weights that her father can lift? No. Do you think she can explain to me the physics of jumping off weighing 43 pounds? I don't know. Oh, pretty good, yes. And a strength of a father and the commitment of a father to catch her, to keep her from getting hurt. She may not explain any of them. It wasn't necessary. What was necessary is you heard it. My dad will catch me. My dad will catch me. Well, he hasn't holding you at it yet, is he? No. I have hope that he will hold me, but I'm confident he will catch me. I put my trust in that. And that's that kind of attitude. And he begins to develop it through each one of these things, talking about the Gentiles being called into this very hope, which is one of the main themes of Romans also. I haven't come just for you Jews. I've come for you Gentiles, and that's us. All right? I've come for you Gentiles too. And then he carries them through into verse 12, 13. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will put their hope in him. May the God of hope, that's a title he takes, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You saw it in her countenance. You think he can catch her? You think he can? There was no fear. Why? She was operating at a level of peace and confidence and trust that we have to be challenged by. Mark, thought?
I just want to say, you say there was no fear, and just a verse that popped into my head is perfect love casts out fear.
Good word, yeah. The trusting of why I'm confident my father won't let me get hurt or fall to the ground. That whole relationship that is illustrated by that, absolutely. But may the God of hope, so you begin to understand his point, so important. I am the God that gives hope. I am the God that you are to trust in, and I will catch you like Brian was going to catch his daughter, who he loved unconditionally. Even as an imperfect father, she had the ability to trust in him. When you start speaking of your hope in Jesus Christ and the love God has for you, I want you to understand that definition of hope. I am certain, I am confident with the expectation that all the good things God has promised to me are mine in Jesus Christ. I put my hope in Jesus Christ. I put my hope in the promises of the Word of God. I stand in the sunshine to be browned up, to be filled up, to be covered over, to be guided so that I walk in this path and I understand what my hope is in. That I'm not just saying I hope on a wish list of this pickup truck for Christmas. That kind of thing you begin to understand. My hope is in Christ. As we sing sometimes, my hope is in you, Lord. We drop that word too easily, and then sometimes we neglect it. It's a hard word to talk about because it's easy to talk about love. It's easy to talk about faith sometimes, but hope always stretches you in a totally different direction because God puts you in your point of fear, in your point of uncertainty, and you look at the doctors, nurses, and what's around you, and you ask a question. Do you think this young man can catch you? No. Where are you going to put your trust? My dad. Do you understand what God is speaking to our congregation? What he's calling us into? What level of hope he's calling us to? And so that as we live in hope, confidence in God's promises, confident in the Word of God, because we're bathing in the light and the wisdom and the truth of the Word of God, every portion of our body is being tinted and colored by the impact the Word of God is having on us. And so you begin to understand what Paul is trying to say here in the book of Romans. The Jews, the Gentiles, all of us live in the hope because our God himself, the God of hope, has called us into this walk. And so it says he will turn, I'm sorry, wrong verse, may the peace of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray with me if you would. Holy Spirit, get us in the light. Get us out of the darkness, out of the wickedness, the foolishness, the self-absorbed thoughts that we know the Word of God well enough. And bring us back into the wisdom and truth of your Word. I pray, Lord, for the miracle that you need to do in all of our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would stand in the sunshine of your Scripture. They would stand in the sunshine of your Holy Spirit. That we would stand receiving what we cannot do to ourselves, but experiencing what you do through your Word and through the Holy Spirit, and dressing us up into a level of confidence, hope, and security that we can live in and function with. Come and bless each of us, Lord, with that kind of commitment. Help us to see the wisdom of a precious child demonstrating faith of a child, Lord, at a level of true hope in you. Come and bless us all with that wisdom, that understanding, and ultimately, Lord, with that kind of commitment and strength. We pray this in your name, Jesus.